This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. As many of you know, most of the conversations that I have with my guests are one-on-one, where we are actually sitting across from each other and getting to catch up on old times, because probably 80% of the people I talk to are those who I've worked with or have known or been friends or acquaintances for a long time, and we get together with such infrequency. I just really enjoy an opportunity to spend quality time sitting down and chatting with these friends. And during the course of the conversation, I know there are things that will come up that will be of interest to the general magic community that have to do with their particular profession or their interest, of whether it happens to be in history, in collecting, in playing cards, in trade shows, in comic books, in art, as well as, of course, things having directly to do with magic, whether it might be cards or stage or working in Las Vegas or whatever. So again, these are conversations that are just a whole lot of fun that I get a chance to chat with good friends and get caught up about what they are doing, and also learn a little bit about some of the insights on that particular compartment, I guess, of our community. From time to time also, then, we will speak with some others who might be in other countries or across the country, or in other words, we're not going to be together. And so we have an opportunity to sit down via Zoom, and I will record not only audio, but video. And those videos are shown then over on YouTube and also on Spotify. So those who might be interested in watching rather than listening, or both, you can do both. I guess you could listen while you watch. You can listen and watch to some of these broadcasts. But there are others who have been brought to my attention in various ways, and I think certainly deserve to be highlighted to the general magic community, because they might have been either overlooked, or they may not be as well known yet, or perhaps they may be well known in a particular niche or in an area or in their particular discipline. So I'm just trying to draw attention to something that I think that you, the listener, will be interested in hearing. And some of the conversations I have personally, one-on-one, are recorded while we are at magic conventions. Again, I'm not going to be recording those because it's not Zoom, so I don't set up a camera or anything, so it is just audio only. But I find that the magic conventions are the best opportunity where we can sit down and have a good one-hour quality chat, either before or after the convention, sometime when there are not so many other activities going on, and we have an opportunity to kind of get a quiet corner where we can chat for a while and go in depth. That was the case with our guest this week, Mysterious Max, not the Mysterious Max, but Mysterious Max, while we were at Magic Live during this past summer. A lot of time has come and gone between then and now. This is being broadcast, and that's because there have been a lot of others that I have recorded, and I have some that are in the can that will be coming up in future weeks, as well as, of course, other conventions that have been between then and now that I give daily reports. And again, while I'm at conventions, I have even more people I'm sitting down and chatting with. So I want to thank you for your patience and letting me roll these out in their own time. And I know that the time will be worth it, because I know you'll enjoy all of these conversations I have coming up, as well as the one I have for you today. Mysterious Max is someone who is from the Ukraine, and he has quite an interesting story. It has been reported, I believe, in the MUM magazine some time ago, and he is someone who is currently residing in New York while awaiting, hopefully, for his return to the Ukraine. And I don't want to give away too much of his story, but I think it's pretty fascinating. And we go into a lot of detail, and it's quite emotional towards the end. I didn't want to start opening with an emotional can of worms here at the beginning. We just kind of eased into that as the conversation developed. So I'm going to let you enjoy the development of the conversation that we have here this week with my friend. Please welcome Mysterious Max here on The Magic Word. This morning, we're going in a little bit different direction.
In fact, we're going to be going through New York all the way over to Ukraine and then back again, I guess, you know, basically, and talking about mentalism and a lot of other things that are going to be non-related, I'm sure. I've got with me this morning someone who is a finalist on Uri Geller's The Next Phenomenon, and he's been performing a lot in New York City at Monday Night Magic, as well as Speakeasy and some other places like that. But he is from the Ukraine and living in New York then right now. Please welcome my friend, Mysterious Max. Hey there, Max.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
Sure. I'm glad that we had an opportunity to make each other's acquaintance. We're recording this right now, we are in Las Vegas at the Orleans Hotel, and we are just finishing Magic Live, and Michael Chout had said, you need to talk to this guy. And I know you had an article also in the MUM magazine just this last year, and your story is phenomenal. For those of you who don't know, we're going to get into that here then now, specifically that you were from the Ukraine, but you were a mentalist, a successful mentalist then over there. And there are probably not a lot of magicians in the Ukraine, are there, or were there?
There are some community, because in Ukraine, we have very interesting college. It's mm-hmm. College of Circus and Variety Arts, and you can learn magic. And it's course for 4 years, so it's like actual college,
wow.
But for circus and variety arts. And when you graduate it, you get national diploma, and in your profession it says magician. So It's very unique. I believe that it's only one college in the world, like national college. It's not private. And so you get national degree as a magician.
Wow, I've never even heard of that.
Yes. It's very nice because you don't learn only magic. So there are some other interesting courses like acting, dancing, juggling, acrobatics. Mm-hmm. So, and it really helps when you do stage act. So all of this knowledge makes your act much better and more professional.
So people who are going into the school already have some sort of experience, I guess, in performing. So right out, like from high school to college, whenever they have had a lot of other courses, I guess, in business and geography and science and math and everything, and you decide, okay, I really want to be a magician, this is the place to go. It's not like Hogwarts where you've got all kinds of magic teachers, because I'm sure you're taking other kinds of classes, I assume, as well. You're taking probably science and math, then business classes.
Correct. But to become a student of this college, you need to be at least beginner magician.
That's my point.
Age around 16 to 24.
Okay.
And it's pretty big competition because it's they get only three students a year.
Really?
Yes. And when I tried to become a student, it was pretty big competition. It was, I believe, 12 magicians.
Uh-huh.
But then they took only three of us.
And they decide who they want, I guess, based upon your auditions? Or
yes, it's three-tour audition. So it's a first tour, you show basic manipulation, like card manipulation, balls. You need to show two routines, one with balls, another one with cards.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in this first part, you show like some like basic
some
dancing,
proficiency.
Some on the second part of the audition, you need to show your stage act of his music and your costume and to perform. And then there are also some acting auditions, so they ask to do something. And the third, it's just like Ukrainian language, Ukrainian literature. So it's very interesting.
Wow. And so because you had mentalism, was that something that you developed then during college, or did you go into it with mentalism?
No, my background, of course, it's magic. So I do magic over three decades. So now I'm 40, and I started when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was just my hobby. I got a book from my parents. I tried to learn some tricks. Some of them I failed, and I put this book on a shelf for years. And then one day I found it, and I was in the hospital. I had asthma when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, my parents, they brought this book, and also they bought another one about card magic and like card puzzles. And I learned in the hospital some of the tricks, and I show these tricks to kids in my room. And they were so happy. And then I performed for doctors. And I started thinking, like, these kids, for a moment, they forgot about their problems of his health, and
their
eyes was like so shy and bright, and inspired me to learn more and to perform. And then I started to perform for my friends and family, and I started to perform in the restaurant. I was hired when I was 15, I believe, my first gig, and I started doing like close-up magic in the restaurant. And then my first education after school, it was a technical college, because magic was a hobby for a while, and my dad, he former military, and he said, like, you need a real job. He graduated the same college, so he said, like, this is nice college, you should go there. And also, it was interesting. It was a good college, and we learned, like, IT and how to produce radioelectronic devices, but it wasn't something that I was interested
in. Sure.
And I graduated this college. I gave my diploma as a gift to my parents.
It's okay, I
and
did
then
it.
I went to the circus college, because like when I was on first course of this technical college, I found out that in my city, we have this unique college.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to this college. I met some magicians. We become friends. And we start jamming sometimes. Mm-hmm. So after my classes in technical school, every day I was also in circus college. And next to circus college, not far away from circus college, it was library, and they had some books about magic.
Sure.
Because in Ukraine, magic, it's popular because of this college. Who knows about college, of course, and already familiar with magic tricks. But for beginners, it's really difficult to find like secrets. And it's way before the internet, it was like the late 90s. So the only chance was it's books.
And they're mostly in English, I'm guessing.
No, we had some books in Ukrainian and Russian.
Okay.
But it's very, very limited amount of the books. So now when I live in the States and when I visit magic conventions and magic shops, I see that over here, magic and in different level.
Yeah.
And you have so much knowledge here. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. In Ukraine, we were so limited. Even now, we're pretty limited because there are not a lot of good books in Ukrainian language. So most of magicians, they learn some new tricks because of internet, because you can buy now downloads or ebooks, and you can learn Google Translate, because unfortunately not everyone knows English very well to understand. That's why like most of the magicians, they buy video downloads, because even without knowing English, you can see a video and you might understand what is going on and how to perform. So when I was a teenager, I visited a library and how we call it, like bookworm. So I was read all the books. It wasn't a big amount, but it was like 3 or 4 books in this library and some magazine, a circus magazine, and it was some articles about magicians. And I'm really interested in history of magic. So for me, it was something incredible. And then I found a couple of books in bookstore, and I started to do research and looking for new books, new materials. Now I have in Ukraine one of the biggest library. And I'm also a magic collector, so I'm so into magic. So I start interested in who performed before, what they did, where they learn magic. And I start collect old posters, flyers, some old props. And I start... And also, I was surrounded by young magicians, so I started sharing different stories about old magician. And then I created first magic shop in Ukraine, because we hadn't had any magic shop. So for a while, most of the magicians, they built their props by themselves.
Right.
And also because for a while, a lot of people in Soviet Union, like during Soviet Union, they hadn't had a chance to visit some other countries. And same magicians, they couldn't buy professional magic props.
Right.
It was really small amount of magicians who travel abroad, and they had a chance to buy something, buy some books or some props.
And so you must have had all the magicians beating your door down to come in and buy everything. And you just imported things from like Murphy's and...
Yes, actually, I started to create... So I found my company in 1999 when I was 16. Wow. And it was just a project during my study in technical college. Mm-hmm. Because I studied economics and... We should create like some virtual projects about some business. And I thought like, oh, we don't have a magic shop. What if...
Why? Wow.
I will create a magic shop. How it's possible. So I create a business plan and I start research about companies who sells magic. And I found one company in UK. They sell like... It's a wholesale company. I believe it's called Jerry. And they sell pranks and magic. And okay. It wasn't like super professional tricks, but they had some about maybe 30 tricks, like the dynamic coins, mental photography decks, Svengali. But even these simple tricks, it was really good to have because no one had it. So when I was a beginner, it was my first trick. Like I got to, my first trick was Mark deck. That mm-hmm. I got all from my mom. She bought it in a prank store. And so I founded this company. And it was small, really small business. I was just as a magic dealer. I found...
And it was actually a brick and mortar shop. I mean, it was some place that people would come to.
I founded the company, but I was just a magic dealer because I hadn't had budget to rent a place.
So people just came to your house?
Yeah, a house or some cafe.
Meet him at a cafe, and so, wow, it's interesting.
So some public places, or I printed some catalog, and they can order, sending me a letter, they fill a form, and then I send the props to them. So I found, in Ukraine, we also, the problem is that we have a college, but we don't have any magic clubs or conventions.
Interesting.
So I found that in Russia, they have a magic club. And I went to this magic club and then I found out that they have also competition every year. So I became a dealer and I started selling props in this convention. Then I found out about Murphy's, and they was founded in 1999 and I started the beginning of 2000, so 24 years ago. And when I started to cooperate with Murphy's, for our market, it was like sensation. Mm-hmm. Because finally, magician had a chance to buy professional tricks from the best magicians around the world. Because most of the dealers, some of them, they had professional props because some of the magicians travel abroad.
Right.
But most of them, they just built
their
props
own
by
stuff.
Themselves. Right. Yeah. And the quality wasn't really good in most cases. So every time when I brought something, in most cases, it was sold out.
Sell out.
Yeah. And then, of course, one of the magicians, he opened first magic shop in Russia. Mm-hmm. But my store was like first store, like in post-Soviet Union countries. So like after a year, I found small, tiny, like warehouse, and it's become like kind of like brick and mortar store.
Right.
And then I start build more and more. So like after some years, I rent office, and when I graduated circus college, I opened also my studio.
The studio, so that way that you could rehearse and have other people come in then to practice?
Rehearse, and also I started teaching magic.
Okay.
And during my studying in college, I started interested in stage hypnosis and mentalism. So when I cooperated with Murphy's, I got a VHS tape of Patrick Cuffs from Canada.
Sure, Patrick Cuffs.
Mm-hmm. And
because she does mentalism.
Yeah,
good
and
stuff.
It was a videotape about metal bending.
Okay.
And I learned some of his routines. I performed for my friends, and I noticed that it gets great reaction, even better than the other trick that.
So you weren't familiar with Uri Geller at the time. This is your first introduction.
I saw some videos, but I didn't know is it real or it's also magic trick.
Mm-hmm.
Because the videos that I saw, it was so good, so I cannot catch him.
Sure.
And I saw some of his picture duplication and the way how they would shoot, it was pretty clean, so you cannot
look great.
So I had some guesses, but because a lot of publicity about him shows that he's like has superpower.
Right.
And I was, okay, so, but I, when I start research and I start to learn more about mentalism, I become really into it. And then I found out, of course, that it's magic tricks. And also in post-Soviet countries, it was a very famous mind reader. His name is Wolf Messing. He's originally, I believe, from Poland, but he traveled in Europe and then he used to live in the Soviet Union.
Okay.
In Russia. And when I started doing mentalism, most people, they're like, oh, you like Wolf Messing. So, because Uri Geller wasn't so popular in our country.
Sure.
So, yeah, and when I graduated, so in college, what also interesting, every course, like every year, we learn different genres of magic. Actually, every 6 months, like we learn different genres. For example, we start from ball manipulation, then card manipulation. Next year is close up, then stand up. Then we work on our stage routine. But no one knew about anything about mentalism.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started interested and I asked my mentors about mentalism, they showed me some really simple magic tricks. So actually, it was mental magic. It mm-hmm. wasn't mentalism. And only because I was already a magic dealer and I had access to any material in the United States, I started buying for myself more books and videotapes and so learning more and more. And that's also why I opened my own studio, my school, magic school, because I had access to knowledge that even this circus college hadn't had.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to, I was invited in one TV show. And when I was invited to TV show, I started thinking like what I can do different for the magician. And I decided to perform sideshow tricks.
Okay.
It wasn't like magic tricks, but I was also interested in sideshow. And I perform blockhead tricks and it gets great reaction. And the other producers from different TV channels, they start invite me to different shows. And then I start to perform magic on TV and then mentalism. And when I start for more and more, I noticed that in my case, mentalism was more interested for me. And also I started getting better reaction when I perform mentalism, not magic.
Right.
Because I noticed that people, like lay people, they also, when you perform magic trick, they understand that there are some secret, like sleight of hand or special props. But it's also like kind of like puzzle they cannot figure out, but they might understand that it's something behind that. But with mentalism, it's even more puzzle for people because they don't know, is it a magic trick or is
right.
it superpower? And it gets even more questioning and more mind-blowing for people.
It is a whole different level, certainly in mentalism, as to the audience reaction because you get inside their head. I mean, they understand if you're doing something that's just going to be visual candy, if you will, that they enjoy and it's fun and sweet and they know that it's trickery involved. But when you start stepping inside their minds, yeah, that's a whole completely different thing. Before we go further, I got so many different questions that I wanted to ask you about. First of all, where in the Ukraine did you live and where was your magic shop?
I'm from Kyiv, Ukraine.
Okay.
And the name of my magic shop, it's Maxi Magic.
Okay.
It's kind of because my name full name is Maxim and I decided to combine my name and magic.
Mm-hmm.
And also it was because like I tried to provide maximum magic in my country.
Oh, I got it. Sure.
So that's
to the max.
Yeah.
That's right, right. And also restaurants. When you mentioned that you were working restaurants, I know in the U.S. that is a major way of magicians performing, of doing walk around and getting some experience before they learned and then go on to working cocktail parties and strolling and other kinds of things from there. But I'm curious as to how magicians are accepted at restaurants and if there are many working throughout Ukraine or if it's only in Kyiv where magicians are working in restaurants and how do you work? Do you work for tips or do they tip at all or is it pay? I'm curious about how that works over there.
Sure. So Oh, and also you asked before how big is community. So it's not really big. I believe when I was a teenager, it was like around 350 magicians, something like that.
In the whole country.
In the whole country, yeah. I mean, professional magician, working magician, and there are a lot of hobbyist magicians.
Sure.
But when I started, it was late 90s, and most of the magicians, they work at the restaurants. Who had stage acts, they performed in casinos, because we had also casinos and they had like small theaters or cabarets, yeah. And they performed I knew a couple of magicians, they had duff acts. Some other my colleagues, they had just three illusionists we had in Ukraine, like Viktor Voitka, he's pretty well known in magic community. Mm-hmm. So he had incredible illusion show. He was like Ukrainian David Copperfield, mm-hmm. because his show was incredible and he's a really creative person. So some of magicians, they worked in this cabarets or small theaters at casinos, but the most part of magicians, they perform in restaurants or private gigs. And it was also different deals. Someone worked for tips, someone get a small salary plus tips. But then with some years later, the market was changed. Casinos in Ukraine were closed. It's become illegal. So all of these cabarets and small theater were closed.
Is that because the government changed in the government policy?
Yeah, they changed the policy. They changed the laws. And all the casinos were closed.
Wow.
And of course, for a lot of magicians, it was huge problem.
Yeah, there's no place else for him to go.
Yes, and also casinos, the salaries was pretty good.
Yeah.
And so most of the magicians, they start building a market of private gigs and promote themselves for like weddings, birthday parties, corporate gigs. Mm-hmm. And I remember also because it was a lot of people were limited. Not everyone had video cameras. Mm-hmm. So to shoot your promo video, you need to hire someone, right, or you need to have a friend who has a camera. So right. I remember when I was around 17, I asked my friend to shoot my video, my first demo video. And it was also difficult to edit it. So it was so different times compared to modern times when you can do everything in your smartphone.
Right.
And there's so many YouTube channels, many magic in the internet. Back then in Ukraine, it was really small amount of information and really small amount also for content about magic in Russian or Ukrainian language. Because in Ukraine, we speak both Russian and Ukrainian language. It's also depends on where do you live, in what part of Ukraine.
Yeah, if you live over on the eastern part of Ukraine, I guess you're closer to Russia, so you probably would speak both languages.
No, actually, in the east part of Ukraine, most of the people, they speak only Russian.
Oh.
And same like south, for example, like Crimea, most of the people, they speak only Russian. They know briefly Ukrainian language, but most people speak Russian. On the west part of Ukraine, it's only Ukrainian, and they don't like Russian language at all, because Russia fight between Russia and Ukraine, it was for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Russia, they tried to destroy all books in Ukrainian language, and we were forced to speak only Russian.
Wow.
Ukrainian language was illegal for a while. And when, in 1990, Ukraine became independent.
And had borders.
So we finally could speak Ukrainian. But because most of the people, like old generation, was born and raised during Soviet Union period, they were forced to speak only Russian language.
Mm-hmm.
So in Kyiv, where I live, we speak both languages. So my first language is Russian, because my family, my both parents, they was Russian speaking, so they taught me Russian language. And then when I was in school, I learned Ukrainian language and started learning English and French.
So what do you think in other words, when I'm speaking English to you, are you translating to Russian or to Ukrainian?
It's interesting because Now I live in the States almost 3 years.
Yes.
And it's very interesting because I noticed that my brains are worked in different way.
Hmm.
I don't translate anymore. It's like a program, so I understand a language. Even my dreams at the night, they're in English.
Okay.
And it's so strange when I start having it with me. I
dreaming in English.
And like,
yeah,
what is going on now? Because same with Ukrainian language. So it's my second language. But when I watch TV, my brain doesn't translate it to Russian language.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes I cannot even notice that it's in Ukrainian language. Same with Russian language. Like I didn't translate anything to Ukrainian. But with English language, it was interesting because like I learned it in school, but then without practice, of course, I started forgetting. For example, like French language, I knew better than English, and now I don't understand at all.
At all.
I forgot
yeah.
everything.
Right.
Same was with English. So after school, I was in technical college, and the level in school, it was really high level of English. So it was, I don't know. So it's like special school. We call it gymnasium, but it's not about gymnastic. It's because like special school is really good. So it's kind of like private schools. And so it was some kind of deal with government. So Americans came to our school and they taught us English.
Oh.
So when I was like 8, 9, I could speak English better than I speak now. But when I went to technical college, the level of classes of English language was really bad. In circus college, it was even worse. And then, so I have 3 educations. And when I was in university, the level was better, but I already forgot the language and the grammar. So I started learning again. But when I graduated to university, I didn't perform in English a lot, so I started also forgetting this. And then I started, when I started doing magic professionally and I started traveling, I started learning English again. Then, when 3 years ago, I came to the United States for traveling, and because of circumstances, I stuck here.
Yeah.
I still learning again. And now my brain, after the 3 years, because I surrounded only Americans.
American English speaking.
So my brain sort of works in totally different level. And now I don't translate. Sometimes, of course, I don't know some words. And as you can hear, my English is not perfect, but I believe it's better than you Ukrainian.
Guaranteed.
So sometimes I don't know some words, so I need to translate, of course.
Well, I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk about your experience on The Next Phenomenon with Uri Geller, about how that you had come across that TV show. Did you try out for that? Did they contact you, or you thought, and then how did that progress when you were doing mentalism? And of course, he knows mentalism.
And actually,
did you do some spoon bending also?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, it's an interesting story because it was a coincidence. One day I saw on Facebook, some of my friends, they did a post that only one day Uri Geller will be in Kyiv.
Okay.
It will be some special event only for TV producers and journalists, and he will perform in one of TV studios. And because I did already a lot of TV shows, like I already was like on 15 TV shows, I had a lot of connections on broadcast community and on TV. So I called one of producers and I was like, oh, can I get access to this event? And he called his friends. So I get invitation to this event. So, and Uri Geller, he performed, he showed his spoon bending routines, also quit smoking.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
He tells also some interesting stories about his career. And of course, his type of, let's say, presentation that
yes.
everything that he does, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his superpower. But I already was working a magician and mentally, so I knew. And after this meeting, I introduced myself and I showed him my routine. And it looked like he liked it because he said, like, do you know anything about phenomenon show? And I said, yeah, I know that in different countries was phenomenon show. In some countries, it's called the next regular or successor. In the United States and in Ukraine, it was phenomenon. And he said, next year, one of the TV channels will produce this show.
Hmm.
So you need to go to audition.
Wow. So Uri Geller told you himself you should.
Yeah.
Wow.
And of course, I waited for this audition. And mm-hmm. when I saw on TV commercial about audition for this TV show, mm-hmm. I instantly filled the form. I sent my videos. And then I got a call from producers and they invite me for live audition.
Mm-hmm.
And I performed, and also I met a lot of magicians, but...
Because they were probably coming from all over, it wasn't just Ukraine.
No, it was just Ukraine.
Oh, okay.
Because in Russia, they had also phenomena, and it was only Russian magician and mentalist.
But still, Uri Geller was involved with that.
Yes.
Yes.
Because his show, he's like creator,
yeah.
So he has the rights.
Right.
But he cooperates with...
So he took this in different countries.
Yeah, so he sells the rights to TV channels in different countries. In some countries, they had even couples, like two seasons. So in Russia, it was one season. In Ukraine, it was also one season, but it's supposed to be two seasons. And also, we're supposed to have full us.
Mm-hmm.
And by our contract, because after audition, I get a phone call that, yeah, I'm become one of the 10 performer mentalist. When we signed the contract, the part of the contract was that the next magic show after phenomenon will be full us,
mm-hmm.
and we need to participate in this show and take a part of it. So it was interesting, and it was interesting experience because like after this meeting and a special event with Uri Geller, I met him once because he gave me his contact information. So we met again and he gave me really good advice about PR in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was...
He knows PR, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I was really surprised that he decided to share some information with me because like he didn't know me. Like it was
just
one time a meeting, but he was very kind. He gave some advices. He gave advices that's like, I need to create a website, how it's supposed to look, what it's supposed to say.
Right.
He said, like, hire the best, some good photographer, spend money for good video.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's work. And then when phenomenon happened, it was really sensation in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
They'd never seen anything like that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Actually, it was first magic show on TV.
Okay. Hmm.
So we had like American TV shows on TV that were translated in Ukrainian or Russian language. Like, for example, David Kopfield's TV specials. Or I forgot the name of TV show. It was...
David Blaine,
but also Blackstone Jr. He had some TV show.
And he did, right.
I forgot the name, like Masters of Illusions or something like that.
Okay.
And some of the episode was shot at Magic Castle. So it's also like I waited every time in front of TV, every single episode to see a David Copperfield show or Blackstone, this TV special. And I record on video tape my American colleagues. And I watch many times these videos. Same like when I become professional magician, I got meeting some other professional magicians and we start sharing like our books or some of them, they had VHS tapes also from some lectures from America, but they bought in Europe. And but phenomenon, it was first magic show that was produced in Ukraine and it was really good production. It was one of the main TV channel in Ukraine who produced this show. So they spent a lot of money and they did a really good job because they are also fashion designers. So all our suits was custom made for every single performer.
Wow.
But we should provide, of course, our material and producers and directors of the show. They check like after audition, they said that like send us a list of 15 routines that you can perform on TV,
and they
like
will choose
live
from that.
TV, because it was live show, and it's also like big pressure. For me, it was my first experience of live TV. Because I had experience in TV, I performed many times, but it was edited, and I know that even if I fail, they can cut it. But on this show, you cannot fail.
Right.
Or actually, I had a small experience of live TV, but it was like morning TV shows, and no one cares.
Right.
No one remember you after this show. But Phenomenon was a big project, and also we had some classes of acting or... what you might call it, stage speech, how to project, your voice.
Sure.
And so it was a really great experience. And also it was one magic consultant from Europe, and he also worked with us on our routines. And of course, he improved most of our routines. And it was great experience. So I became a runner-up. I didn't want the first place because lay people, they voted.
Yeah.
But
runner-up,
I was
good.
Really happy that I became a runner-up. And it was also very interesting because during the TV show, I don't remember what was the episode, but I got a phone call from producers of this TV channel, and they said that, like, oh, we have also another production company, like, with producers who does live events, and we have already a couple clients who want to hire you for their events. And I said, like, okay, let me like finish this TV show. I don't know
how far you go.
Yeah, how far it go, but
yeah,
when the project will be finished, let's talk about our cooperation. So when the project was finished, I got again phone call, and they say that like we wanna sign the contract for 5 years.
Wow.
With you, and I was only one.
I got a contract out of the TV
offer.
Show.
Yeah, so I signed the contract. It was amazing experience. Because I started to perform for celebrities, and this gig, it was for the most successful and most richest oligarch, or how you call it in States, billionaire.
Okay.
So it was amazing venue. It was my probably first like luxury event. And when I signed this contract, of course, I started doing more and more these shows, and I started to perform for a lot of politicians, celebrities, for big brands, and not only in Ukraine, but also abroad. But unfortunately, in 2014, the war started in Ukraine, in the east part of Ukraine, and there were a lot of changes in Ukraine. So unfortunately, this production company was closed and my contract was canceled. But because I was already well known, I started doing shows by myself.
Right.
I hired a manager and I had my own company. So I just started working by myself and still like doing the shows. And then I found out about Mentalism Convention in Germany.
Okay.
It's a mind summit. And I was invited, and I was first from post-Soviet Union countries, first mentalist from post-Soviet Union countries. And it was incredible experience because it was the biggest names in mentalism, like Colin Cloud, Peter Turner,
right.
Some German mentalists like Jan Becker, Jan Fosser. So
sure.
It was an amazing event. And I also found out in this event about...
Well, Danny Archer also.
Yes. Because he was co-producer of...
his Mindvention. He used to do here in Vegas.
And he said, you should visit our
Smoke
convention in Vegas.
Yeah.
So he invited me to Vegas. And in 2016, I came to United States for the first time.
Well, that may have been where I met you. I may have been there.
Probably.
Okay.
So it was my first time in the United States. And I tried before... to get American visa, but in Ukraine it's really difficult to get American visa to UK. And I tried to get my first American visa when I was, I believe, 18, because I was into also escapology, and I found out that there is one convention for escape artists. But I didn't get the visa, so anyway, came. But for the first time, I got in 2016, I came to this convention. I was mesmerized.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Also, big names in mentalism and magic. It's Las Vegas. I saw some shows and
fell in love with it.
It was incredible. Like, I stayed in Vegas for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like a one moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to LA also for a couple of weeks. But this couple of weeks become 6 months because I noticed that you have so many magic shows. And
right.
So a Magic Castle
Magic
in
Castle,
LA.
Of course, right.
It was also incredible. And I used to live not far away from Magic Castle. So every week I was in Magic Castle. And mm-hmm. then I met, they have small mentalism group, the elders,
mm-hmm.
and I was also invited to this secret group.
Mm-hmm.
It was also an incredible experience. So with this all knowledge, I back to Ukraine and I use this experience in my country. And
then obviously a lot of things happened. As we start to wrap up over here, I want to get to kind of the crux of the story then too, when you came from Ukraine over here, and then 2 weeks later, I guess, when the war started, and then you couldn't return. And so it's what's...
Actually, I came to United States in 2021 after pandemic when the borders were open, and I travel a lot, sometimes with my show, sometimes I just buy a ticket and I travel to a new country that I never visited. So every year I visit at least 2 or 4 countries.
Okay.
And for 2 years I stuck in my country. So of course, when borders were open, I bought a ticket. I went to Prague, then I was in Thailand, and then I came to New York. But I got a COVID. For the first time I got a COVID and I stuck in New York. It was really strict rules. And at the same time, when I got results on my iPhone, I got another message that I should stay in quarantine for 2 weeks. I cannot go anywhere or it will be
can't leave your
huge
room.
Fee.
Yeah.
So I canceled all my trips in the United States. I had some issue with like health insurance. And during my quarantine, I got a phone call from clients from Ukraine. So they hired to corporate gig and they pay for my ticket. So I flew back after quarantine to Ukraine. I did my gigs. I met family. And then I decided to come back to United States to travel because my travel was canceled. So I came to United States and 1 week later, the war started in my home country and borders was closed. And it was shock. Because like my family in Ukraine, everything that I had in Ukraine, my business, my apartment, and car, so everything. But it was so scary because I was sure that Kyiv never will be attacked.
Mm-hmm.
But when Ukraine was attacked, it was 5 cities at 5 a.m. was attacked at the same time. So it's crazy. And Kyiv was one of the cities. So I called, I called my mom and I was so stressed because I didn't know how I can help to my parents. My parents are divorced, but I called my mom, I called my dad, and I didn't know how to help them. And my mom, he lives in another city close to Kyiv. But my mom, she's in Kyiv, and she used to live in a bomb shelter for a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Because, like, most people, they should leave their houses, take only the documents and some necessary stuff, and go to a bomb shelter. And also in Ukraine, we have digital passport. So it's very unique. It's kind of like an app, but it's your passport.
Hmm.
And this app also... I don't know how it's in English, but it's kind of like alarm that shows when the city will be attacked.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. So when I was in States, I knew every single moment when Kyiv is attacked. Because
you're
I still get in
these reports.
Reports, yeah. And when I call to my mom or my dad, I hear there's also alarms on the back.
Oh, man.
It was really scary. But then I helped my mom to escape to... From Ukraine, she used to live in Europe, in Lithuania, and about a year ago, she got an American visa and she came to the United States.
Oh, that's good news.
So now,
Your father, you said, was in the military, so...
He is former military.
Oh, former military, so he wasn't active service and getting involved with
this.
No,
he wasn't in service, and also he had some health issues, so... But he's a volunteer, so he supports Ukrainian army. I also found some organization in the United States, in the Ukrainian community, and I was a volunteer, so I did some performances for refugees who came from Ukraine. So I performed for kids, for families who recently came to the United States.
But your father never got out?
No. Okay. My father, he's still in Ukraine, and like he supports army, but he's not military
anymore. I understand. I guess I understand that your magic shop is no more. That got destroyed.
My brick and mortar store, it's closed, of course. My website still works, but of course, I don't have any orders anymore because no one needs magic props. Magicians doesn't have any gigs. It's too dangerous.
One of the last things.
I have some like clients in Europe, but it's really a small amount. So unfortunately, my magic shop is closed for a third time.
And being a young man, many of your friends, I'm sure, had that's got to be a tough thing. We're in the service.
Yes, a lot of my friends are in service. Some of them were killed.
Yeah.
It's really horrible. Sorry.
I completely understand.
Gee. And also, I thought to come back to Ukraine and go to army. But then my dad is a military. He said, I wasn't in army because, I spent more than 12 years for education. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't in the army. I don't have this experience. And my dad is a military, former military.
Right.
He said, you don't have any experience.
In an actual
wartime,
right?
You need to get good training. It's not 2 weeks. It's not enough to become a military.
Right.
And he said, you can support from US. And that's what I do. I send some of my income to Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So I support my family financially, and
so you have brothers and sisters still there?
Yeah, my dad has another family, and I have a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's 16.
Will you go back when the war's over?
I really won't because I haven't seen my dad for 3 years, some other family. So of course I want to see it because it's first time for a long time. It's the first time that I haven't seen my family for a while. It's never happened. Even when I was busy and I had tours in Europe or whenever, I always come back to Ukraine to see my family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's first time when we're really far away. So I'm really happy that my mom, she got a refugee visa and she can stay here and she can work. She's taking classes now in English. So, and I'm glad that I have opportunity to financially support my family.
Right.
Because I was getting more gigs. So I had also problem because when the war started and I decided to stay for a little bit because I was sure that the war will finish pretty soon. They find out they will sign some agreement. Unfortunately, it never happened. But I had a tourist visa, so I couldn't even work here. And New York is a really expensive city.
Yes.
And my budget was limited.
Sure. I understand.
Just for a couple months.
Right.
So I started spending my savings. And when I saw that I had really small, tight budget, I was oh, wow, what am I supposed to do? And I cannot get another visa and I cannot move anywhere.
Wow.
Or even if I will move to some other countries, what I will do? Because I cannot work also in the other countries. So I just stuck here. And then the American government, they created temporary protected status. It's for Ukrainians who came before the war started. So, but it took more than 6 months to get this
work visa,
social security number, and work authorization so I can work. And but I was really lucky that magic community supported me.
Yes.
So one of the first performers who was in touch with me, it's Eric Dittelman that I met in Vegas in this mentalism convention in Mind Mansion. And he said hey, let's catch up. Tell me, what is your plans? What do you think? And he started helping me with magic connection and magic community. He introduced me to Michael Chout, the producer of Monday Night Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael, he was very kind. you said like, hey, come over to Monday Night Magic to change your focus.
Right.
He offered me free tickets to any shows.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you'll say in the United States, I'm sorry. So Michael was very kind, and at the shows they had a meeting in diner, so the performers and some other musicians, they came and hanging out and jam. And Michael introduced me to some other magicians, so I started getting new connections, because in United States, I was by myself. I didn't know anyone.
Right.
I hadn't had any friends.
Right.
And it was really stressful times, but magic community helped me a lot, because these meetings changed my focus. So for a moment, I could talk about something that I really love. Then I met Todd Robbins. He was one of the producers of Monday Night Magic, and also he's producer of Speakeasy Magic. It's incredible magic show in New York City. And then Michael, when I got documents, he make offer to perform at Monday Night Magic. And same Todd Robbins asked me, do you have a material? So I started thinking what I can perform. And I showed him my metal banding routine, and he liked. So he invited me to perform at Speakeasy Magic, kind of like audition.
Right.
And then he hired me, and I started to perform at this show. So I started doing Monday Night Magic and Speakeasy Magic. And then I started doing some other shows and gigs in the United States. And now I perform all over the country. I cannot believe that like 3 years ago, I came to this country. No one knew about the mysterious mags. And I was lucky enough that I met people with big hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing what I really love.
Yeah.
And it was incredible when I performed with David Cursor. He performed in Monday Night Magic multiple times and mm-hmm. speaking Kizzy Magic. And he wrote an article about magicians. He said like, oh, tell me your story. And we had a couple of Zoom calls, and he said, oh, it might be interesting. It could be a small like
article, right?
Article, yeah. And then he said like, oh, I talk with editor and he like your story, so maybe it will be a little bit more, couple pages.
Yeah.
And wow, fantastic. And then I was really surprised that it's become cover story, and I become first magician from like post-Soviet Union countries who is on the cover of
the MUM magazine.
Yeah, it's the most popular magic magazine. So I'm really lucky.
And thankful.
And I'm really thankful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why also some people, when they ask like, do you want to come back to Ukraine? In one hand, yes, because I want to see my family.
Of course.
But on the other hand, United States, they give me a lot of opportunities, and I want to pay back. That's why I also do a lot of like pro bono gigs for some hospitals, and I volunteer for some organization. So, because I'm really grateful to this country, to these people who supported me, with this incredible opportunities, and it's incredible experience.
Yeah.
It was really challenging because like I start everything from scratch, because like as I mentioned, after Phenomenon show, I become really well known because Phenomenon was viewed by 25 million people. In our country, in the entire country, it's something around 40 or 45 million people. So mm-hmm. it's almost half of the country saw this
wow.
show.
Wow.
People recognize me on the streets, and I perform with, as I mentioned, with celebrities. So I had really expensive gigs, and I was pretty successful full-time.
But that's now behind you, and that's not something you can look forward to going back and picking up.
Yeah, so when I moved to States, and I like, oh, wow, no one knows me, and I don't have anything. I came to this country with one bag. Everything that I had in Ukraine, and I don't have access anymore to anything. And as I mentioned, I spent all my savings.
Right.
So I start from blank page.
From scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, it's getting better.
That's good. I'm glad that people have embraced you, and I can see why. You know, you're a nice guy. And I look forward to hearing more of your successes here in the U.S. as well. Well, as we close, let me say thank you very much for opening up and telling us all of your story. The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, so I always like to close by asking my guests what it is that is your philosophy of life, what it's important to you when you wake. I mean, goodness sakes, I mean, when you wake up, what drives you, keeps you going each day?
It's a really good question. By all these years, I noticed that you need to take some challenges and don't be scared and do what you love. And even like, for example, like my career, my dad, he said like, oh, find real job.
Yeah,
but right, I really loved magic and I decided to try to do it and I'm succeed. Same when I moved to US, and then some people who like in Ukrainian community who recognize and like, oh, you was successful in US or in Ukraine, sorry, it will not happen in US. It's big country, it's big competition.
Mm-hmm.
So make your dreams smaller, like. And I took this challenge. I decided to stay in United States, in New York, and I knew that it's huge competition because there are so many great performers, magician, true, mentalists. It's really big competition. Even like American magicians, they feel that. And for me, as a foreigner,
mm-hmm,
it's huge. But I decided to try. I work a lot. Now my dream comes true. I become a full-time performer in New York City. I perform all over the country now.
Great.
I believe that you need to believe in your dreams. You need to take challenges and just work hard. And one day you will succeed.
Well said. I can't add more to that. Max, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me here. I'm really grateful for you that you invited to your podcast.
I just want to share your story. I know more people would want to get in touch with you. If they do want to get in touch with you, what is your website? How do they reach you or know more about you?
I don't have my American website coming soon.
It's coming soon.
But on social media, you can find me as a Mysterious Max. My name is M-A-K-S. It's a little bit different.
Okay. So you wouldn't be looking for M-A-X, it's M-A-K-S.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Mysterious M-A-S.
Okay.
Max.
Good. Well, Max, thanks very much. I appreciate it a lot. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was The Mysterious Max. Scotty out.
Thank you, Max, very much for being my guest this week. And thank you also for just being open and candid and bare and raw. Thank you so very much for sharing your story, your feelings, and your emotions. I know you're going through a lot, and I'm glad there is a support group of magicians in New York area who are helping you. I want to thank all those guys. Gosh, Eric Dittleman and Michael Chout and so many other people who are helping out there with your situation and others who are in your same plight. I hope that you get things worked out and you continue to find success, not only here, but eventually getting back home where you can continue with your success and being the phenomenon that you are. So again, thank you, Max, very much for being my guest here this week. And I want to encourage everybody who is listening to this, if you will, please, if you've got a few moments, if you enjoyed this particular episode or any of what I do with these episodes, please give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform that you use, whether it's iTunes or wherever you happen to listen to this. I'm sure there are ways in which you can give us a 5-star review and some nice comments. It's been quite a while, actually, on iTunes since we've had the last comments or any kind of a review. I know there are tens of thousands of people who are listening out there, but very few who actually go take that next step and give us a review. And that would really help if you could please give us a 5-star review. That will help our podcast grow and let more magicians know this is out there, and so they can hear stories like this that we heard here this week from Mysterious Max. We have a lot more coming up for you, as I mentioned at the front of this episode, with some other conversations I have recorded during the past several months and some more that I am going to be recording as we get into not only the end of this year, but particularly next year. And before long, I guess next year, I'll be heading out to Blackpool and to the Magi Fest, as well as others. So we'll get this whole thing started again with even more conventions and more opportunities to chat with other people. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember to work hard, believe in your dreams, take challenges, and one day you'll succeed. This is Scotty out.